Welcome to Mastering Midlife with Heidi. I'm Heidi, certified hypnotist and mindset coach, and in this podcast, I'm breaking down my secret code for midlife success. Are you trying to overcome people-pleasing behaviors, navigating divorce, living in debilitating self-doubt, or something else keeping you stuck? You're in the right place. I know that you're ready to get to the next level of your life feeling happy and fulfilled, so let's get started. Hey there, welcome to this episode of Mastering Midlife with Heidi. I appreciate you listening, and if you get something from this episode, I'd love for you to share it with a friend or two to help the message about how to overcome people-pleasing and live a more fulfilling life reach more people. I really appreciate you taking the time to send me your comments and rating and reviewing the podcast. Here's a portion of a review that Candy submitted on Apple Podcasts. She said, "Each episode feels like a one-on-one conversation with Heidi offering me invaluable wisdom that has helped me learn to set boundaries and love myself. Heidi, because of you, I've gained the courage to embrace my true self and let go of the need to please others." Ah, thank you so much for your review, Candy. It seems counterintuitive, but the less we worry about making others happy, the happier everyone is, including us. Maybe most especially us. That's what we're talking about in today's episode, harmful myths about people-pleasing and how they keep us from being happy. I really get the best of both worlds here because in creating these episodes, I not only get to guide you to the realization that you are enough to start prioritizing yourself and living your best damn life, but I also add to my own growth and healing in the process. I believe recovering from people-pleasing and learning to see, accept, and love yourself as enough is an ongoing journey. There are always more layers of the onion to peel back. It's not like learning how to tie your shoes or ride a bike or how to do multiplication or division, and once you know how, you're all set. No, this is a path that twists and turns and leads you to new discoveries and beliefs and patterns you have about yourself. So now, on with the show. Do you try to be the perfect wife, perfect mom, perfect friend, perfect employee? Do you feel guilty when you speak up about your needs or feelings, or maybe even thinking about speaking up about those things makes you feel guilty? Do you always try to appear happy and like you have it all together? Do you do everything you can, going out of your way to make sure everyone is happy? If so, stay tuned. What we're talking about in this episode are harmful myths that can keep us stuck in people-pleasing. What are some of the things you might believe about people-pleasing and how they're keeping you trapped in this devastating behavior? I've heard many times in the last few years that it feels like people-pleasing has become an epidemic. I know how much my life was controlled and impacted by my people-pleasing behaviors. And over the past few years, I've talked to many people whose lives have been greatly impacted too. My mission is to help as many people as possible break free from this debilitating pattern so you can live the rest of your life in the freedom of interdependent relationships instead of the constricting, codependent relationships that people-pleasing inevitably creates. While creating this episode, I figured out there's too much to unpack in one episode, so I've made this a two-part series in order to give us a chance to dig deeper into the many harmful people-pleasing myths I've discovered. Make sure you're following the show so that you get notification when that part two episode releases. Ready? Let's dive in. I've had many, many women tell me things like, "I do so much for them, but they never return the favor. I'm so overwhelmed. When will I catch a break? I never have time for me. Everyone thinks I'm so happy because I put on a happy face, but I certainly don't feel that on the inside." I've also heard, "No one appreciates how I make everything perfect for them. I feel guilty just thinking about speaking up and asking for what I need. They work so hard, it wouldn't be nice of me to bother them with what I want. I've done so much for everyone else that I don't even know who I am anymore." Or people ask me, "Why doesn't he get how much he hurt me? How do I get over this and stop feeling so resentful? Why am I the one that has to change? How do I say no without feeling guilty? How do I stop them from being so condescending and mean? I would never say those kinds of things. I get it. I've said all these things and asked all these questions and more, usually in frustration because I couldn't seem to figure out how I could be so nice to people and yet feel so crappy. It seemed like people took advantage of my niceness. I was exhausted from putting on a happy face and not saying how I really felt about anything. I was emotional from always stuffing my feelings in order to not hurt someone else's. I was confused about who I really was, what I liked and wanted and felt, because I was constantly morphing myself to fit in. I believed a lot of crazy things about how I was supposed to show up, who I was supposed to be, and what it took to hold a relationship together. Believing these things caused me to have some, what I now see as, some crazy behaviors, like always being nice and sweet and never disagreeable, being whoever the other person wanted me to be, or maybe I should say what I thought they wanted me to be, and me doing whatever I could to make the other person happy. I was the ultimate chameleon. So before we talk about the harmful myths I uncovered that we believe and can keep us stuck in people-pleasing, let's briefly talk about what people-pleasing actually is. People-pleasing is a learned behavior. It's the tendency for individuals to go out of their way to make others happy, often at the expense of their own wants, needs, and desires. People-pleasers often prioritize the approval and validation of others above their own well-being. This leads them to agree to things they don't want to do, suppress their own feelings and opinions, and sacrifice their own autonomy. This behavior can stem from various factors such as the fear of rejection, low self-esteem, or a desire to avoid conflict. It can ultimately lead to feelings of resentment, exhaustion, and diminished connections or severed relationships. Maybe you were taught that it's not okay to focus on yourself and what you want, that doing that would make you a bad person. So you've lived your life always putting yourself on the back burner and ignoring your own needs, reinforcing the thought that you're not good enough. This is not simply an instinctive behavior you have to put everyone else first. It's a self-defeating and harmful pattern based on a story you were taught about how the world expected you to be in order to be acceptable, in order to be good enough, and you were conditioned to believe it's true. I think many times we have a nudge, a gut feeling, that our life is not all we'd like it to be, that there are things we want to be different, but we aren't compelled to make a change. Maybe we don't know how, or we think that they should change, or we're scared of the outcome. So we put up with the status quo and stay in our comfort zone. We tolerate things how they are, even if they're not how we want them to be. We tell ourselves that it's just the way it is, or that when circumstances or people are different, that things will be better. We maybe tell ourselves that this is what everyone goes through, that these feelings of dissatisfaction and self-doubt and inadequacy are normal, that it's just the way life is. Unfortunately, most times, something drastic has to happen in our lives that gets us to a pain point of saying, enough is enough, and start the process of peeling back the layers of the onion. They say until we reach a pain point of 10, we won't make a change. We can be at a 9.9, but until we hit a 10, until we hit rock bottom, we will stay. We'll put up with things the way they are. My first real 10 pain point was the realization that my husband couldn't come up with anything to say about me when asked by our therapist to tell her what made me unique, reasons why he loved me. The only thing he could say was that I was a good cook, but he said that didn't make me unique because there were a lot of good cooks in the world. I sat listening to this in shock. I woke up the next morning and the first thought in my mind was, my husband of 17 years doesn't have anything positive to say about me. What is causing me to stay? This devastating realization was my 10. I packed a few things in my car that morning and left the life I had lived with him for over 20 years. We don't have to wait to get to a pain point of 10 to make a change. Maybe if I had expressed myself to him years before, it wouldn't have gotten to that point. I'm not excusing his role in the relationship. I'm pointing out that my pattern of people-pleasing led me to put up with the status quo, to tolerate unhealthy behavior in the relationship because I was taught to put everyone else's feelings ahead of my own. I learned to not speak up in order to avoid hurting or disappointing someone. I didn't know how damaging it was to not express myself. It was my pattern, and it had become so automatic to behave in this way. I didn't see how it was wreaking complete havoc in my life, demolishing my self-esteem, and causing me to doubt everything I did. Looking outside myself for validation and acceptance, I didn't see it until I did. My mission is to guide you to see your patterns without having to hit your pain point of 10. Those rock bottom places are extremely painful, and I would love to help you avoid that type of pain. The deep pain of your husband of 17 years not having anything positive or loving to say about you. I stayed in the marriage for 17 years because I believed some very harmful things that caused me to stay. Myths that I thought at the time were truths. Let's look now at 3 of those myths. Before we do that, let's take a short 60-second break from our sponsors. Oh wait, that's me. Do you feel like you've lived your whole life for others and now you don't know the real you? Does it seem like your wants and needs don't matter, like you're not important? If you're saying yes, I hear you, I see you, and I've created something just for you. It's called Me First, and it's a community where you'll learn to prioritize your needs and desires, gain confidence and a strong sense of who you are, say no without guilt, and create a life that feels good in your heart, without concern of judgment from others. As a member of the Me First community, you'll be among like-minded women all on a journey of self-discovery, and you'll find understanding, friendship, and unwavering support. You'll have guidance through expert-led discussions, guest speakers, and personal coaching. Plus, you'll build a toolkit of resources to help you conquer people-pleasing, critical self-talk, shame, resentment, and more, so that you have the freedom to prioritize yourself and live life by your parameters. Join the Me First community at a 20% discount by using coupon code PODCAST20 at checkout. The program link is in the episode description. It's time to prioritize yourself and truly believe that you are important too. Now back to the episode. Welcome back. Let's look at those 3 myths about people-pleasing and how they keep us stuck in this devastating pattern of people-pleasing. A reminder to follow the show so that you know when part 2 releases. I'll share 4 additional myths in that episode. Here's myth number 1. People-pleasers are always easy to get along with. This seems true on the surface because people-pleasers are always so agreeable and accommodating. But their reluctance to speak their mind and say their thoughts and opinions can get frustrating for the other person. The other party always has to assume they know what the people pleaser is thinking or feeling. It also can get very frustrating to ask a question and continually get the response, "I don't care, what do you want?" This was me for most of my life. If you were on the receiving end of my "I don't care, we'll do whatever you want to do," I'm sorry. I understand now how frustrating this is. And it wasn't just in intimate relationships. I did this with friends, family. Along with people-pleasing making communication difficult, this go-with-the-flow manner also results in lack of genuine connections because the people-pleaser never lets anyone know who they are or what they like or prefer. There's no genuineness or authenticity because the people pleaser isn't showing who they really are. So while people pleasers want to be agreeable and easy to get along with, and this is in order to feel likable, the need to be agreeable causes people pleasers to prioritize maintaining harmony and avoiding conflict over genuineness and clear communication. This hinders the development of meaningful and fulfilling connections with others. The second myth is that people pleasing is all about making others happy. While making others happy might appear to be the primary motivation behind people pleasing, the reality is it's more deeply rooted in a primal need for survival, for safety and acceptance. People pleasers often engage in people pleasing behavior as a means of self-preservation, and it's driven by a fear of rejection, abandonment, or disapproval. This fear stems from a fundamental desire to be liked and accepted, to fit in and belong. This can actually be traced back to our primary instinct of social belonging and protection within our circle. For many people, the idea of someone else being unhappy, which could cause possible conflict or rejection, triggers a response in the brain that tells us our safety and well-being are threatened. Our brain registers it just as if we're actually being chased by a tiger, and the brain puts us in protection mode. Remember that the brain's primary job is to keep us alive, to keep us safe. This perceived threat causes a people pleaser to go into autopilot and behave in ways that will keep them safe. Behaviors like prioritizing everyone else's needs and preferences above their own, because they instinctively feel this is the way to maintain harmony and avoid conflict and disappointment, and ultimately avoid rejection or abandonment. By constantly seeking validation and approval from others, people pleasers believe they can secure their place within their social circles and protect themselves from the perceived dangers of isolation or being excluded. A result of living in this myth is, as people pleasers, we take on the responsibility of how others feel, that their happiness or lack of is our responsibility. This can lead to extreme feelings of guilt when someone is disappointed or hurt, even if it has absolutely nothing to do with you. And this keeps us in that vicious cycle of being even more pleasing in order to get them back to a positive emotional state so that we are comfortable again, a state where we don't have to feel that guilt. Here's the third and last myth of this episode. People pleasers are naturally happy people and don't get angry. While people pleasers may appear outwardly cheerful and accommodating, the constant prioritization of others' needs takes a toll on their well-being. Suppressing desires and emotions to fulfill the expectations of others can lead to a deep sense of inner conflict and dissatisfaction, of self-loathing. I relate suppressing our needs and feelings to being constipated. If we let that shit build up for even a short period of time, the result is not pretty and it's painful in the meantime. Suppressing emotions, needs, desires, hurts is much more painful than the brief pain we might experience if we took off the happy mask and simply let our emotions show. Yes, I said it. People pleasers wear a mask, almost always, and it's almost always a happy mask. We want people to think everything's fine, that we have everything under control, that everything's perfect. Because perfect to a people pleaser indicates safety. If everything's perfect, we'll be accepted. We won't be left alone. We think these masks we wear will protect us. Despite our efforts to keep others happy, people pleasers many times experience feelings of deep resentment toward the people they're wanting to please, as well as toward themselves for neglecting themselves, neglecting their own needs. People pleasers also experience chronic exhaustion and burnout. Always putting others first without any concern for ourselves drains our physical and emotional energy. People-pleasing is a stressful place to live. It causes us always to be in the mode of having to do more, that it'll never be enough, that we will never be enough. Did this episode uncover ways that people-pleasing is impacting your life? Have you been believing any of these myths? From my lived experience, I know that the negative effects of people-pleasing far outweigh any positive outcomes. So what can you do about it? How can you overcome this behavior and start living a life knowing that you are enough, that you are perfect, divinely perfect just as you are? If you feel like I was describing a big part of your life in this episode, the first place to start when you're ready for a shift with your people-pleasing is to get support. I'll go more into this and other ways to overcome this diminishing behavior in part 2 of the next episode, but until then, if you're ready, seek out support. I did not overcome people-pleasing on my own. I've seen therapists, coaches, and attended Codependence Anonymous. I have not stopped learning about and healing this aspect of myself for about the last 6 years. Again, it's like an onion. I peel back one layer to find another layer that needs examining. There are a lot of layers of this people-pleasing onion, but I'm pretty close to the center now. It doesn't mean that I'm broken. And if people-pleasing runs deep for you, it may take years to peel back all the layers of your onion too. And that's okay. This says nothing about your worth or value right now. I will tell you though, when you take the first step because you're ready to put yourself first, some of the initial changes with overcoming people-pleasing can occur quickly and be life-altering. Stay tuned for part 2, where I'll reveal how in Myth 7. Here's a hint. It has nothing to do with working on changing your actual people-pleasing behaviors, like setting boundaries. It has everything to do with what's at the source. I'll teach you in part 2 how to pull the weeds out by the root. Again, I invite you to get support. I'm here to guide you if it feels like a fit and would love to offer you a complimentary call to chat about it. My calendar link is in the episode description. I'd love to know what takeaway you got from this episode from part 1. Are you at your 10 or close? Was there an aha moment that you'd share with me? Send me an email and let me know. I'll close this episode with a quote by Brené Brown. Only when we believe deep down that we are enough can we say enough. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. Thank you for spending time with me today. To continue on your journey of mastering midlife, click the link in the description to download my free guide, 20 Ways to Say No Without Feeling Guilty. See you in the next episode.